Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today's guest is Stevie Bowen. She's the founder and author of The City of Dating, her memoir turned dating community platform dedicated to helping others date to find themselves, not their soulmates. Ooh, I love that so much because, as some of you might know, I also wrote a book about New York City dating. And more than that, it's about self-discovery. And I always talk about dating other people is truly just a process of dating yourself. So, hi, Stevie, how are you? And welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to chat today.
Absolutely. So why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners and tell us who you are, what you do, and of course, your relationship with New York City.
Yes. So I am the founder and author of The City of Dating, like you said, which is my dating platform, which I founded after the publication of my first book, The City of Dating, a memoir, which I wrote back in 2020, which is sort of when everyone sort of lost their job. I did as well. And I was like, what do I do with myself? And I had this idea to write thank you letters to past dates, relationships, one night stands. And I started with one, Mr. Bumble. And I thought, wow, this is actually making me sort of create closure for myself, even if it was just for little dates and things, and realizing, oh, I've learned X, Y, and Z from this. So I just continued to write these letters, and then it like sort of became a book. And I decided to publish it. And now I write a weekly dating advice column on The City of Dating. We have date confessions where people submit, you know, their best or worst date confessions on there as well. And I sell the book and, you know, little martini pins. And it's just all about the idea of like learning to love dating again, and enjoying the process of it instead of just sort of focusing on the outcome. This all kind of goes back. I moved to New York City when I was 18 for school. So in 2014, and it's just been an adventure since then.
Oh my God, there's so much I want to dive into. So first of all, you obviously have an accent. Where are you from?
It's a bit complicated. I'm originally from England, town called Luton, north of London. And my family moved to Fort Worth, Texas, sort of near the Dallas area when I was 2 years old. It was only supposed to be for 6 months, and then we ended up staying. But I spent half my time in England and half my time in, you know, in Texas. So I sort of have a very weird mixed accent. So it's kind of like I've been dropped in the middle of the Atlantic or something.
But that's the beauty of it, right? Mm-hmm. To have different backgrounds, because that shapes who you are and your perspective. So I'm curious to know, when did you actually start dating? Was it in New York City?
Yes. So I really wasn't like in high school. I don't even know if I had a proper date. Like, you know, you went over to a boy's house to watch a movie or something. And that's when I had like my first kiss. I didn't have my first kiss till I was 17 years old. So I guess people would say like a late bloomer, per se, but I was just so interested in just hanging out with my friends and enjoying life that I just didn't really bother to date then. So my first date was I was just talking about this with my girlfriend. It's so funny. I was in college, and I believe it was with a Bumble date. He was my first one. That was probably in like 2017, 2016. I mean, I like a proper date here, you know, I'm talking about like going on like a dinner or like for drinks. Like, I feel like in college, it gets a little bit weird because you like go, it's kind of like high school in the same way. You don't really always go on like a dinner date or something like that. But I had crushes and people that I, you know, was into. And I talk about that in my book as well. and sort of how these people can even shape you, though you don't technically sort of like date them, you know?
It's so interesting you said that, because I was thinking the first experience you have with love, right, or with somebody that you're attracted to, truly influences the way you see relationships almost permanently, unless you recognize, you know, there's a certain pattern you want to break or you do the work. But if your first exposure is healthy, then that's what you expect because that's what you're familiar with. On the other hand, if it is toxic, like mine was, it's hard to get out of that space because then I'm drawn to that type of behavior. So, right. And nobody talks about this because it's almost as if, you know, if you've been exposed when you're 14 or 18 or whatever age, that other person is still learning and navigating life. So it's almost as if it's not their fault either.
Right.
But it's just so, it's so interesting, right? Because you don't, I don't know, I feel like you just go into it not knowing what the long-term effects are.
I love that perspective. I definitely, because I sort of feel like you have to relearn how to date and relearn how to date for yourself. And that, you know, the whole idea that you do control the narrative, like you're in control of the situation and what you want out of a date. But I also think that comes with like maturity and age. But I also think that me not sort of technically dating, I didn't have a boyfriend in high school. It kind of, though, back then it made me feel like horrible. You know, I was like, why do all my friends have boyfriends and girlfriends and all this stuff? And but now looking back, I'm like, I'm kind of happy I didn't, because I didn't really have any toxic relationships. I mean, you know, obviously there was a boy that I was kind of seeing talking stages, and but it wasn't so, you know, embedded in myself yet, because we weren't really dating. So I kind of, when I came to New York City, it was like, this is a fresh start. This is my time to date and to have that Sex in the City sort of life that I've always dreamt of. And I think I've built that, or building it still. So.
No, I love hearing that. Did you always approach dating in that sense, though, as if you were, you know, trying to find yourself, getting to know yourself, or did you go into it wanting to find your quote unquote soulmate?
You know, no, I didn't go into it at first knowing like, oh, I'm in control of the situation. I think it was definitely something I had to learn myself. I don't know if I ever went into dating when I first came into the city wanting like a boyfriend or a relationship. I think because I was also so young, I was still discovering myself, but I think I gave too much of myself to men before we were like in a relationship, or if it was just sort of a situationship. Looking back at it now, like, God, like, I'm just kind of like, I think writing that book really made me realize like, oh, this isn't what I want. Like the guys, this guy, this sort of type of lifestyle is not for me. And I want different things for myself. I think it definitely comes like learning how to date for yourself and date based on like the things that you want takes time and takes going on dates to figure that out.
Absolutely.
And I think people forget that too. You know, like, it's like, you've got to go on dates, you've got to put yourself out there just so you can realize like, oh, I don't want this, or like, hey, I like what this person has, you know, I want that in a future person, but maybe this isn't my person. So
I love that you mentioned that, because I feel like oftentimes people want to take breaks, which is totally fine, and they want to heal. But then in the process of doing that self-work, you're also not practicing those skills, and you have to be in a relationship to learn how to be a good partner. You can read all the books, right? And you can listen to all the podcasts and all these like amazing talks and inspirational quotes, but how do you actually act in those situations? Because that's what I've learned. I went to therapy, you know, throughout 2020. That's my first time going. And I felt like I did so much progress and my self-awareness increased immensely. But then I got into a relationship and I thought, oh, I did all the work. But actually, if you're not in a relationship, how are you supposed to, you know, practice those skills? So it's really interesting that you mentioned that. And I'm curious to know, you mentioned Bumble. Was that the only app you used?
It was the first one I used. My best friend and I in college got on Tinder when Tinder was just sort of starting out, but I never really took that seriously. I'm right now I'm on Bumble. I'm on Hinge. I don't really use Bumble as much anymore right now. I just, you know how I feel like Hinge and Bumble always flip flop to which one's better. Right now I'm a little annoyed with Hinge, so I'm like kind of creeping back to Bumble a little bit. I'm on Raya.
Okay.
Which is an absolute shit show. I mean, it's just no one talks to you. I mean, I message people, no one messages right. you back. I've been on one date from Ryan. I've been on it for maybe 6 months now. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I try to reach out, but I don't know if it's worth paying the money. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking about this because I'm like, I feel like it's like a scam because now what if I stop paying for it and then I delete the app and then I never get back on?
I know. I think that's their model. That's it how they get you.
It must be how they get you because now I'm sort of realizing like, God, I'm not meeting anyone. This is a waste of my money. But at the same time, like, what if I want to get back on at some point in my life? God. But yeah, so Raya, Bumble, Hinge. There's Foreplay, which is that new. Ooh, I don't know if you've heard that? Of them.
So I like the name.
Yeah, it's so fun. So these two best friends developed it. It's particularly new, and you match, so you like team up with like one of your friends.
Oh, that's fun.
Who's also on the app, and then you match with other teams or other like two people to like go on like a double date or you can use it for like friends and stuff like that. And I've been kind of swiping through. I have yet to go on a date with anyone on there, but it's kind of fun because you look through it and then it'll send it to your best friend or your other teammate.
Oh, fun.
And they'll be like, oh, Stevie liked so and so, like, do you like that sort of thing? It's so funny.
But what if you end up liking, like, what if your friend likes that person?
Well, you get like two people, you get two profiles in one sort of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's fun. So it's like kind of fun. It's like seeing like two guy friends and like they have a little bio and stuff. But I think there's definitely so many more dating apps out there. Mm-hmm. I'm still just like a Hinge girl, to be honest with you. You know, it just feels safe.
Yeah, I like the prompts and the way they set it up.
Me too.
How did you feel about online dating?
You know, I think I went through a time where like I hated it. I think like everyone, and I think that time sort of came in like 2021 when you're like, I need to meet people in real life. And I think it was after everyone was sort of in quarantine and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I sort of learned that there's a bit of a balance that comes with meeting people in real life and like meeting online. I think we've got to a point where you can't just like do one without the other. Though I would love to meet someone in real, you know, in real life at a bar, at a party, or like through friends. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's practical enough to just sort of only rely on that these days. And I think there's so many ways like online to meet people that you particularly wouldn't meet, people mm-hmm. of different cultures and mm-hmm. like people that are outside of your own community.
Absolutely.
Which is what I love about dating.
Yes,
you know?
Me too. So tell me about the biggest dating lesson you've learned throughout your journey so far.
Yeah. I think my biggest thing is not to give yourself completely to someone, like in the sense of like emotionally, just committing to them in your mind before having that conversation with the other person of like where they want, what they want in a relationship, where they think your relationship is. I think for a while before, also like you were saying with therapy, before I went to therapy and sort of figured this all out, I just would give up my control so mm-hmm. early on and like act monogamous to people though we hadn't had that monogamy question or conversation. And I think that's such a big thing, especially like, I don't know, I find like with me and my other friends, it's like, why are we committing to people when we haven't had that commitment conversation yet? And I think you get stuck, and that's how you sort of get stuck in a situationship, because you're monogamous, but you're like, don't even know if the other person's being mm-hmm. monogamous. And I've just learned that that is not the way to do it. And that you need to sort of I needed to take back control and not give myself emotionally to these people completely. and learn to have more conversations and start those conversations. I think especially with men that I've, you know, in New York City, you kind of have to make them have the conversation sometimes, or like, you know, encourage the conversation. I think everyone's a little bit scared in dating, and you kind of need to be, I personally need to be the person to be like, all right, this is how I'm feeling, and not be afraid to say it.
Oh my God. Everything you said like just hits home for me, because I always talk about these points in my book as well. It's interesting because I feel like I always advocate for the power of communication, yet I'll be the first to admit that I struggle with that, especially when it comes to a person that I'm dating, even though I don't know why. Like, I know they can't read my mind. I know that if we just have the conversation, all of my worries will probably be at ease, because they always say your mind goes into dark places that don't even exist.
Like, oh God, I feel that. I love that saying. That is so real.
Like, your like reality is usually better than, you know, your own mind. It's incredible, but also insane how that works. Yeah. So I definitely agree with you. And I don't know if it's like a woman thing or a female thing, but I feel the same way, where I do give a lot to people before confirmation of any sense or reassurance. And it's almost as if then I wonder why it ended the way it did, or why I'm not feeling fulfilled emotionally.
Yeah.
So it's insane. But talking about dating in New York City, can you share one story that was just insane, where you walked away and you were like, what the hell just happened? It could have been like a surprise and a bad story date, or a really good one.
Okay, so I have this, I write about this in my book. It's one of my letters called Dear Skater Boy. I went to a, it was this, my friends own this skate brand called Grand, and they were having a sort of video launch party. This is sort of right before 2020, end of 2019. And I went to the premiere, and it was like, you know, very downtown, very cool. And I met this guy there, and we sort of hit it off, and we decided after, we were like, let's go get a bite to eat. So we went to Forget Me Not, and I'd never been there before. And, you know, it's like such like a, that sort of community of like skaters and artists and everything down there. And we're having tacos and just chatting, and we got on like a house on fire. It was just amazing. Like, it was like, wow, like this is crazy. And then, you know, we had a little couple drinks, and we were just sort of walking around and like hanging from like, I don't know, like buildings. People were like waving to him and all this stuff. And I was like, do you know these people? Like, it really kind of felt like I was in a different world. Like, it was such a New York City night, you know, when you're like, what is happening? Yes. Is this real? And we ended up going home together and, you know, having sex, whatever. And then we kind of chatted a little bit after that. And then he just disappeared, like into the abyss. Like, I don't even know if I can even classify it like as a ghosting, because I truly, like, all my friends, you know, that worked for Grand, they were like, we haven't really like seen him around. Like, cause they kind of knew them. Like, he just like disappeared into like the New York City night. And it was just one of those crazy serendipitous moments and nights. And then he was just gone forever. Like, I don't even know his last name.
Oh my God.
Which to this day is like one of the craziest New York like sort of dating nights, like very unexpected.
It'll always be a mystery.
Always a mystery. He's my mystery man, my skater boy. It's like, where did he go? And he's so cute.
You never know, because let me tell you, sometimes these guys come out of the blue, out of nowhere. When I wrote my book, I did the same thing as you. I obviously changed everybody's names. I did like a reference, like just like you said, skater boy. I did like Australian or like Mr. Z, like just little nicknames that nobody would know aside from the guy. Like, if the guy read it, they will know it's about them. And a question that I got asked a lot was, do these guys know that you wrote about them? I don't have contact with any of these men. So I thought, no, but it's obviously public, right? Like, I talk about my book, and I honestly didn't think anybody would reach out. And I had about three guys, like months wow. after I launched the book, wrote to me and was like, hey, I read your book. And I was like, oh my God. Just like, it's a book really for women.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously anybody can read it, but I was shocked. So it's interesting because, like you said, you're talking about it from, you know, a present moment looking back. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know how it was for you, but that's what I did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not scared, but it's also like, this was my experience. And a part of me was so, how do I say it? Like, I don't know what the word is, but I was I really wanted to almost ask them, what did they think of it?
Yeah.
But I also didn't want to open that can of worms because I am in a relationship right now.
Mm-hmm.
But did any of the guys reach out to you?
Yeah. So no one has like reached out saying that they have read it. I had one guy who is Mr. Twig in the book. So, here's the thing about me. Here's a bit of a background. I typically, unless like the guy is super toxic or something and I don't want him on my Instagram anymore, I like hoard all the guys that I date or that follow me on Instagram. They usually still follow me. And I follow about half of them back, just sort of depending on like what's best for me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them like see, you know, my things when I promote my book and, you know, podcasts that I'm on and stuff like that. I had Mr. Twig DM'd me and was like, am I in this book? And I just said, I was like, well, you're just going to have to buy it and find out.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Like, I'm not going to tell you, like, if you're interested, you could definitely reach out, like, you know, buy it and then like reach out to me. And then I had, which was really funny, I had this guy who I dated ask me if he was in the book and he was not. I didn't add him in the book. So it was kind of like, no, you like didn't make it. Like,
yeah.
Interesting enough.
Yeah, exactly. I said the same thing.
Yeah, the story was not interesting enough for me to put in the book. And like, I just was like, oh God, that's so savage and bad, but whatever, you know? Yeah.
I know. I think it's like in a weird way, they want to be a part of it, but then it's also unpredictable because you can write about anything and everything.
Yes.
So it's like, how did you paint them? But at the same time, it's from your experience, so it's always valid.
Yeah.
So that's so funny. Mm-hmm. I know that you mentioned in your column, you write about, or you have people put in their dating confessions, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So my podcast is called The City Confessions. Yes. And I wanted to see if, Stevie, if you can share a city confession. This can relate to dating or just something personal or something you just want to get off your chest. And this should be like, not like a secret, but I want only the people who are listening to this podcast to know.
Okay. What is the confession? I mean, I have so many. My confession of last Friday
is timely.
I met back up with a guy I dated back in like beginning of this year, and I hadn't like kind of been in contact with him, and he reached back out a little bit, and like sometimes I'll like go back on a date with them, but like it was a little complicated how it ended, and I ended up meeting him for a drink and then we had sex.
Finish your story.
But like it was good, like I felt like it was a like validating experience for me, and I know that's like, you know, a little controversial of like going back out with someone that you had like kind of finished with, but for me it felt okay. But yeah, I completely met him at a bar on the Upper East Side and went back and had sex, and that was it.
I'm here for it because I actually think it's really interesting. I write about the lessons that I've learned after every chapter in my book. And I think one of the lessons I mentioned is that sometimes your past doesn't stay in your past. Like people think you meet somebody, things end, and that's like the end of their story. But as writers, if you actually look at it from like a storyline perspective, it's almost as if, you know, if the character didn't die, if you didn't kill them off, they still exist. And you never know, they can just circle back into a future chapter down the road. And I always say, again, I'm happy. So like I'm, you know, but like hypothetically, if I wasn't in a relationship or that somebody from your past comes back, wouldn't it be so interesting to actually meet them again, especially because there's so much growth that, I mean, hopefully, on both parts. And it's almost like a new relationship. And you can talk about what you guys been through, how you are now. Like, I think that's actually so interesting.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, we met up for these drinks and we had like a, what are you up to now? What are you doing? And from like my perspective is I completely felt like way more in control than I ever did in our old relationship, realizing how much I have grown in my maturity and my emotional maturity within this particular relationship, and being like, wow, I'm just like, feel so much comfortable in myself talking to this man than I ever was. And maybe in a way, like, I don't know if it's selfish, but it really was kind of validating to be like, hey, like I can now sit in front of this man and just feel so much more in control and feel like I know, like I'm in power of the narrative and what's going to happen with this night. You know, if I don't want to go home with him, I don't have to, you know, and it kind of like, it makes you feel good. It's like, wow, I'm growing and the work I'm doing in myself is good. So I don't know if that's so selfish to sort of go on a date with someone.
But you should be selfish. I think in your dating journey.
I agree. And
I don't really know you, obviously, but from what I've known from this conversation, I love that you are so true to who you are and how you feel, and you act upon those actions. Because in my book, I talk about everything, right? I lay it out in the open, and I know that some people are going to judge me based on the things that I've done. But at the same time, I always say I am a feeler. Like if I'm in the moment and I feel like doing something, I'm going to do it because I'm honoring how I feel. And that's how it comes across you as well. So
I love that.
Yes, girl. Like, yes. There's no shaming in anything that you do. So I'm here for it. Okay, we are wrapping up, but I want to do two quick games. We're talking about dating. So I want to do a Never Have I Ever edition with five questions. And then the other one is New York City. Okay. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
So there's no explanation. Just say yes or no.
Okay.
Okay. Never have you ever had a one-night stand?
I have.
Yes. Okay. Never have you ever puked in public in New York City?
I have.
Never have you ever ghosted somebody?
I have.
Okay. Never have you made a fake account to stalk an ex?
Oh, I haven't done that. That's what friends are for.
Oh, yeah. True. And never have you ever matched or swiped with somebody during a date?
I have not.
Okay, great. Okay, and now it's going to be a fire round of New York City questions.
Okay.
Okay, if you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Serendipitous.
Favorite thing about the city?
The people.
Least favorite thing?
The rats.
What's your go-to spot?
Central Park.
Oh, I love that. I want to go now because the fall.
Oh, God, you have to go. It's beautiful.
I think I'm going tomorrow. And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
For helping me find myself.
That's so, so beautiful. So I want to thank you so much for being on my podcast. And now it is your chance to plug away. I'm going to have all of your information in the show notes, but where can people find you? And are you working on any special projects for the rest of the year?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. You can find my book, The City of Dating, on thecityofdating.com or where ebook versions are available, every platform, everywhere. I'm at The City of Dating on Instagram, TikTok. You can find my dating advice column on there as well as thecityofdating.com. I'm currently thinking about working on another book, maybe more like fiction this time. So we shall see.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, I have one final question because I always bring it back to my wonderful guest. So, Stevie, what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
I love my strength.
Oh, I love that too. That is such a beautiful thing to acknowledge in yourself. So for those listening, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was fun. We talk all about dating, and make sure you follow Stevie and all her adventures because I'm sure they're fun. And with that being said, thank you so much for watching or listening, and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right. Bye.
Bye.